Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Glad to have you with us. I'm Jeff Cavins, and today we're talking about the Charismatic Renewal. Big event tonight. That's Friday in the Twin Cities, going all the way through Saturday. You just might be called to this. It might be what you need in your life right now. You need that extra power of the Holy Spirit in your life, what you're facing, and the wisdom of God. Yeah, we're going to talk today with Sister Mary Ann and also Dave Mangan from Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's going to be the guest speaker. I think we'll probably catch him at the airport, but we'll talk about this amazing conference that is going to be in the Twin Cities on Friday and Saturday. That's today and tomorrow. If you're listening on Sunday, it was yesterday. Hope you enjoyed it. But it's going to be a powerful conference. You know, years ago, I had the opportunity to speak at the Twin Cities Charismatic Conference with my hero, Bishop Paul Dudley. And I remember that very well. And I think it was in Bloomington. It was a number of years ago. But the Charismatic Renewal is a powerful, powerful movement in the Church. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Alan Schreck. Dr. Alan Schreck teaches at Franciscan University in Steubenville, which I was there just this last weekend at their Defending the Faith conference. Well, he's writing a new book, and we might have him on sometime, too. He's writing a book about the history of the Charismatic Renewal and where we're at right now. Also, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about grief to grace. Do you know, or are you in the midst of grief? Do you know someone who is in the midst of grief, and they'd rather go to grace and experience the grace of God in the midst of their grief? Well, Jeanette and Marty Meyer, they've been on the show before. They're going to be talking to us about grief to grace, healing the wounds of abuse. And it's a retreat that you can take part in. And maybe you're listening right now because you need that. So stay tuned for this hour. Hey, before we take our break and we go to our guest today, I just want to take a moment to encourage you where you're at today in your life. I think for many Americans, we find ourselves so busy and we find ourselves in such a matrix of complexity in our lives, the things that we said yes to, the things that we should have said yes to, the things that we're facing in our life with our children, the schedules, social media, job responsibilities that seem over the top, and family responsibilities. Maybe you feel like you're drowning in your life right now. I want to encourage you to do what the Apostle Paul talked about. You know, he talks about really putting Jesus first in your life and making the most of every opportunity. And I know that's something that you would like to do, is to make the most of your life, make the most of every opportunity. He says, know the will of God. He said, make the most of every opportunity. Or another translation says, redeem the time, know the will of God. One of the reasons that I think our lives become so complex and so busy is that we really don't pay attention to the will of God. The will of God as it relates to our vocation. Are you married? Are you single? Are you religious? You're a priest. You have certain responsibilities that are built right into your vocation. And oftentimes, we don't get around to those responsibilities of being a father, being a mother, because we take on other responsibilities that are not core. They're not central to our vocation. The Apostle Paul, he spoke to the Corinthians, and he said one time, he said, I'm afraid that the enemy has beguiled you, he has tricked you, and he's taken you from that simplicity of devotion to the Lord, and our lives have become complex. And he refers back to the Garden of Eden in chapter 3, where Adam and Eve were brought from a simple walk with God and that relationship with God to a life of tremendous complexity after original sin. And that original sin centered around grasping for the creation rather than the Creator. When God said in Genesis, he said, you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God said he wanted them to follow him. He wanted them to obey him and walk with him. But what did they do? Eve looked at the fruit and she saw that it was good to the taste. It was beautiful. It made one wise. and she chose it. She grasped it. She took it and ate it and gave it to her husband. And my friends, that's where life becomes complex. When we think that the answer is in things of this earth rather than our relationship with the Lord. And oftentimes the decisions that we make in our life are reflected in that we chose the things of this world rather than the things of God. And that's where we need to go back. We need to correct that in our lives. This last couple of weeks, I went to a movie with my wife here in the Twin Cities. It's not a Catholic movie or even a religious movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a movie about minimalism. It was up at the Lagoon Theater uptown there, and it's kind of an alternative movie, if you will, about people who are choosing minimalism and finding a tremendous peace in their life. I don't think they'll ever find what we know in Jesus Christ, but they're finding that their lives are easier if they'll say no to things and not let things overcome them in their life. So just a word of encouragement today, that if you feel overwhelmed in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as John said, and all these things will be added to you. God will give you what you need in your life, but seek him first. Once again, we're going to talk after the break with Sister Mary Ann. She's working with the Charismatic Renewal Office here in the Twin Cities. Big, big conference tonight. Starts tonight. You might want to know about it. And then we're going to talk with Jeanette and Marty Meyer, and they're going to be introducing us to a Grief to Grace Healing the Wounds of Abuse retreat, which you or somebody you know just might want to attend. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We've got so much on the show today. It's going to be a blessing to you. Rediscover.
I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways. We've fixed, replaced, and seal-coated driveways and parking lots for Relevant Radio listeners for years. Along with my dad, Ed, and our family crew, we continue to have our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Our blacktop patching can save your driveway or parking lot. We do what's called skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover three times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be potholes in the next few months. Now the rest of the story. We offer a $100 discount to Relevant Radio listeners who give us the go-ahead on repair projects of $1,000 or more. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
And the clouds just parted on a corner of my life, and I can see for miles.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Have you ever gone to a charismatic meeting or known anybody in your family who has been part of the charismatic movement? I have. My family has, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful thing. Joining us in the studio today, Sister Mary Ann Schenzer. We know her as Sister Mary Ann, and she is working in the Office of Charismatic Renewal here in the Twin Cities. And you're actually not working in the office, but you are working at this conference. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I could tell by the look on your face that wasn't true. It's good to have you with us. And we're going to be joined by David Mangan in just a few minutes, who's going to be your guest speaker for tonight and tomorrow. But this is your first time on the show. I want to welcome you and tell us all that's going to be happening. This is a big conference tonight that you're putting on.
Yes, this is a big conference. And it will begin this evening at 6:30 with praise and worship. We always want to bring ourselves into the presence of God as we are not only listening to a speaker, but we are also letting the Holy Spirit guide us and teach us and refresh us. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be in the right mode for that. And we have David Mangan to speak with us. David was present at Duquesne at an experience of retreat and the falling of the Holy Spirit on a group of college students.
Back in 1967.
Yes. And then his brother is also going to be joining him. And his brother was in Turkey at the time, but he learned of what was happening. And when he got back to the United States, he was able to join in.
You and I share a common friend, Bishop Paul Dudley.
Yes.
What a man.
Yes.
What a man. What a gift to the church and certainly to the charismatic renewal.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about the conference. Where is it going to be taking place tonight and tomorrow, and where would people get information about it?
Well, the conference is going to be taking place at St. Peter's Church in North St. Paul.
Okay.
And...
What time does it start, though?
It starts at 7 o'clock this evening.
Okay.
With 6:30 worship, and before that, registration. There is a fee for the conference this evening and tomorrow. It's all day tomorrow. And that the fee is like $65. And for that fee, though, we are doing a number of things. We're listening. We're learning. We're praying. We're supporting this work in our diocese. Everything that goes into this office is from people who donate. We don't have support as such from the Archdiocese for this work.
Well, I pray that it's a success for you this evening and tonight or tomorrow. Let's bring in David Mangan now. David, you're going to be speaking at this conference. Are you at the airport in Michigan right now?
Yes, I'm at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport right now waiting for a plane.
I was just there last week. I know exactly what you're looking at. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us on the show today. You're en route to Minneapolis, St. Paul for this conference. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the charismatic renewal in general? Some people have heard this term before, but many people are not quite sure what this means.
Well, the charismatic renewal refers to an openness to the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that he brings, the love that he gives. And the basic thrust, I believe, in the Catholic charismatic renewal is an empowerment for evangelization, to really get off the dime and get out there and telling people about the love of God.
Okay. And when we think about the charismatic renewal, Sister Marianne mentioned earlier about this big event that took place back in 1967 at Duquesne in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Bring us back to that. What happened there?
Well, first of all, it wasn't at the Duquesne University site. We were off campus at a retreat house out in the woods called the Ark and the Dove. And there were two buildings. They named them the Ark and the Dove because they're in memory of a big Catholic event coming to this country, with two ships. One was called the Ark, and the other was called the Dove. That's how the retreat house was named. And so that's the beginnings of the retreat house that's there. Back in 1967, I had just graduated from Duquesne University, and I was invited to give one of the talks on that retreat. I declined because I felt I didn't know enough about the Holy Spirit to actually give anybody a talk, but I would like to come and learn, and boy, I get more than I bargained for. I showed up kind of interested in learning, you know, on a small level, and the more I went through the retreat, the more I discovered that I was on the trail of something big. I didn't have a clue what it was. I never heard the word charismatic. I never heard much about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before I left that particular retreat, I experienced the experience that we often call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, although I didn't know that name. I just called it the dynamite because that's what I asked for. And the main thing I prayed for on the retreat was to renew my confirmation. I don't know why, but somehow I knew that there was a key that I had to open up my life more to the Holy Spirit. And boy, was he ever generous.
Yeah. Well, there is a relationship, isn't there, between between this move of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and confirmation.
Yep, I believe there is. And also with the sacrament of baptism. A lot of theologians mention that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that experience that bears that name from the Gospels, is really the stirring up of the grace of baptism from the very beginning. And so that we already, if we've been baptized, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power. We just need to stir it up and avail ourselves of it, not take it for granted.
Now, a lot of people are familiar with these retreats that are called, or seminars called, Life in the Spirit seminars. Tell me a little bit about those, and is there a relationship to what happened back in 1967 in the Life in the Spirit seminar?
Yeah, I think that there is. As we began in the Charismatic Renewal, we didn't know anything. I mean, we were bumbling and trying to find our way through. God in His mercy continued to take care of us. And at one point along the way, we realized that some systematic teaching would be really helpful in helping people to understand what we're talking about and what's going on, and particularly to relate it to things that are Catholic. Mm-hmm. That this was a distinctly Catholic experience. Not distinctly Catholic, but I mean it was a very Catholic experience, although it was experienced in other churches as well, too. And so that's how the Life in the Spirit seminar was born, and a couple of good people came together and started to develop some talks, and really found it to be most helpful in leading people into an experience of the Holy Spirit's power.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Through the years, it's developed. I mean, it's been developing as we go along, as we learn more. But it's a very, very helpful experience.
When you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens in a person's life, and what difference does it make? And a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, because we oftentimes associate tongues and interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, and so forth, with this baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think that's a relevant realization to see that the two of them are there. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, as I said, is stirring the grace of baptism, just opening ourselves up to what all it means to be a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the essence of it in that regard. And the other thing is that the Holy Spirit does give gifts. You know, for example, a lot of people, the one that gets a lot of press is the gift of tongues that you've already mentioned.
Sure.
You know, and people don't know what to do with that, so oftentimes they're a little shy about it. But one of the things that I noticed, for example, is the gift of tongues is mentioned in the New Testament 27 times. There aren't many things that are mentioned 27 times in the New Testament. Now, I don't mean to say that that's the center of the things, because it's not. The center is always Jesus. The center is never the gifts. The center is always the giver. But He has given us spiritual gifts for the sake of the church, to help us to be the people we're supposed to be, to evangelize, to love more than anything else. You know, Romans talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given us. So the gifts are tools for us for service. The one thing I would mention that I think is unique about the gift of tongues is it's about probably the only of the charismatic gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians that is actually for ourselves. Everything else, all the other gifts that we have, are really for us to serve other people, mm-hmm. and give away. So if somebody would have a gift of healing, it's not necessarily for them. They pray for somebody and that person gets healed. The one thing I've found about the gift of tongues in my life is it has completely transformed my prayer life.
How so?
One of the things I find is the more I pray in tongues, and I try to do it as often as I can, to try to, you know, Paul talks about prayer unceasingly. Well, that's one of the ways I find I try to do it, is using that particular gift. But as I've done that, one of the things I've found I'm no expert at this, I don't want to give any false impressions here, but I find myself slipping into contemplative prayer, something that I don't know how to do, really. I mean, it's purely a gift, and I find I'm able to, not necessarily for long periods of time, don't get me wrong here, where I'm able to really sit and contemplate the Lord and know that I'm with Him, and knowing that He's touching me in such ways, and I walk away, you know, very transformed.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could do that anytime I want. I'm not in that position. I don't think anybody's ready to put me up for canonization.
Well, there's certain parishes around the country that are kind of known in their diocese as being charismatic parishes, where they're very lively, mm-hmm. worship and great fellowship. You belong to one of those in Ann Arbor. That's Christ the King. Or,
yeah, that's my home parish.
Yeah, and I know Barbara Morgan there. She was from Franciscan University.
Barbara's a wonderful lady. We work together a lot.
Peter Herbeck and Ralph Martin.
Martin.
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole group. Franciscan University seems to be a university where a lot of ministries were born and launched, and one of the common denominators is that there is the charismatic movement and the renewal going on at Franciscan University. So, Father Michael Scanlon was a big part of that, but also Ann Arbor, where you're from, is also the kind of a birthplace for even the Companions of Christ. Many of our priests in the Twin Cities who come from that area and have been involved in the charismatic renewal. That's one of the spices for these dynamic ministries.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things that's happened in our parish is we have sent, in some years, more young men to the seminary than some dioceses have done.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that is that our pastor, in my memory, has never preached a sermon on priestly vocation specifically.
Mm-hmm.
He preaches Christ, he preaches the power of the Holy Spirit, and love of God, and evangelization, and we need to get out there and do that. In fact, when we do have seminarians coming out, and we always seem to have several each year, we send them to St. John Vianney in the Twin Cities.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, great seminary.
That's our undergraduate seminary.
Yeah. Yeah, Father Michael Becker, he's one of our favorite priests here. He does a really, really good job. And they just made a new relationship with a group in Rome. We just heard about that this week. So you're getting ready to get on an airplane. You're going to fly over to heaven, I mean the Twin Cities. And you're going to be speaking at the conference. Tell me a little bit about what you're going to be speaking, what the topic is.
Well, tonight, what I want to do is be telling the story of the beginnings, what happened on that retreat, how the Holy Spirit fell on some of us, how our lives were changed, and then we're going to have a time of Eucharistic adoration where we want to pray for people who wish to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they haven't had that experience, and be able to do some ministry in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I want to talk about spiritual gifts. I want to talk about how to open up to the power of the Holy Spirit. My brother, Tom, will be there too, and Tom's an excellent speaker, always has great insights. And he's going to talk about what happened to him in Turkey and how he experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving letters from me and a few other friends, and then coming back to the United States. He was in the Peace Corps. That's why he was in Turkey when that happened. And he's going to be sharing from a more distant perspective, which is like a lot of other people who, came in later. And one of his favorite questions, I'm sure he's going to ask this question of everybody, not do you have the Holy Spirit, but how much does the Holy Spirit have of you?
Right, right. Good question.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. Well, David, I wish you the best, and welcome to the Twin Cities for the conference tonight and tomorrow. And I pray that lives are changed and that the Holy Spirit is free to move in our lives in a new way. That sounds very, very exciting.
Yeah. I want to thank you, Jeff, for all the things you do in the church. I've had a chance to see some of it from a distance, and it's really good. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's David Mangan. David Mangan's getting ready to fly on over here from Detroit, Michigan, from the Metro Airport. He'll be at the Charismatic Conference in the Twin Cities Friday night. That's tonight. And tomorrow, Sister Marianne, tell us one more time, how can people learn more about this? Where do they go? When's the conference? How much does it cost?
Okay, so this evening, come to St. Peter's Catholic Church in North St. Paul. It starts at 7 o'clock. We'll have praise and worship at 6:30. And then tomorrow morning, we start again at 9 o'clock and go through the day. There will be meals that can be purchased. And tomorrow evening, whether or not you can come for the conference, Bishop Cousins will be having Mass with us in the evening at 7 o'clock at St. Peter's in North St. Paul.
Wow.
So everybody is welcome.
Well, I thank you, Sister, for joining us, and of course, David. And I want to encourage you as a listener here in the Twin Cities that if your life seems to be out of control, you're not sure which way to turn, you're really wondering about decisions in your life. You feel weak and hopeless and helpless in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide you. in a new way, in a renewed way in your life. And it's really a matter of submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your life in down a new path, perhaps, for you. So maybe this isn't an accident that you're listening to the show right now, and God might be calling you tonight to show up at St. Peter's in St. Paul so that you can take part in this conference. Do me a favor. Tell your friends about it. And, of course, tomorrow after the conference, Bishop Cousins will be celebrating Mass with a great homily. It's going to be a great, great weekend.
The address for St. Peter's Catholic Church is 2600 North Margaret Street, North St. Paul. And if you need a zip code for your GPS, it is 55109.
That's super. You know, today with Google search and all that, people just boom, 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 and they've got it right in the old GPS there, and it's a great tool. Well, thanks, sister, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
May God be glorified in everything that you do. My friends, you stay tuned. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about grief to grace, healing the wounds of abuse. That's next on the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. As a longtime sponsor and supporter of Relevant Radio, the Glasgow Automotive family encourages that today we all pray a memorare for the state of the country, keeping in mind our first responders, police officers, and those who serve to keep us safe.
To the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us here today. You know, God does amazing things with Relevant Radio. He does amazing things through radio. It's one of those mediums that can speak to people right where they're at. A lot of times in the car, you know, you might be in the middle of your work day and going from one place to another, one appointment to another. Maybe you're taking the kids to the doctor, whatever it might be. But God has a way of matching up Relevant Radio with the needs of people in the Twin Cities. And that might happen today because we're going to talk about a topic that is very sensitive, a topic that is hidden in many people's lives. The things that happen in our lives long ago might dissipate and fall away in general, but if something bad happened to you a while ago, it still remains in your heart. And no matter what we do to try to forget that, it can manifest itself in unusual ways, oftentimes unhealthy ways. And we wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong with us? And why do I do what I do? We want to talk a little bit today about healing the wounds of abuse. There's a great opportunity for a retreat coming up, Grief to Grace, Healing the Wounds of Abuse. It's a spiritual program for anyone who has suffered degradation or violation through physical, emotional, or sexual, or spiritual abuse. And here today to talk about it is Jeanette and Marty Meyer. And they've been here before. I want to welcome both of you back to the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
The service that you're providing, the ministry that you are involved in is so needed today. And I think in some ways we only know part of it. How needed this really is, because for every person that finally surfaces and says, something happened to me in my life and it's killing me, there are so many more that are underwater at this point.
When you said the word surface, it made me think about
That's the first step, is to let it surface, to say something about it, a trusted friend or wherever it can be, because there's an isolation that comes mm-hmm. from being abused. And so often it's abandonment or neglect. I mean, there's all the other kinds of abuse too, but those places where we were forgotten or left behind or felt that we were, affect how we structure our life going forward. And so you can be living with anxiety for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's based on a wound that happened in childhood. And the Lord invites us to come and look at that with great gentleness and mercy. And that's what Grief to Grace is about. It's a wonderful program. It's 5.5 days long. And you join a community of people who all have suffered abuse. And we're not there to tell the whole story, but boy, once you can just have that freedom to say, this is what happened, and then open your heart to this amazing work of the sorrowful mysteries and the tenderness of God, it's like, oh, maybe I do have dignity. Maybe I am worth something. And this facade that I live outside of me can start to change because I have purpose.
Sure. When we talk about abuse, Marty, what are the categories of abuse that we're talking about?
Well, there are quite a few, but primarily they are sexual, physical, emotional, psychological abuse. Neglect is another serious one that we don't always think of, because it isn't like something being perpetrated on us, but it's more a sense of what we are being deprived of uh-huh. in the full sense of being able to develop as human beings, to find our worth and our dignity through affirmation and that support that we need throughout our life, especially in those critical formative years.
How does somebody, you know, listening right now, how do they determine, how do they discern whether what happened to them, whether it be mental abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, how do they determine that that is actually abuse as opposed to, you know, just a kind of a difficult thing happened, but I wouldn't put it in the category of abuse. How does somebody discern that? How would you know the difference?
Well, abuse is something that goes beyond the painful symptoms of our life. It's a deeper injury that occurs within our soul. If we are suffering from a sense of worthlessness, inadequacy, guilt, feeling dirty or used, or unlovable or unwanted, those are very classic symptoms. When we feel rejected from the very heart of God's tenderness and His mercy and His love, if we don't feel like God loves us, I think that's a huge indicator right there that there's something deeper within us that mm-hmm. we need to be connected with, to know that God created each one of us with a greatness and a dignity to live this life out with fullness of purpose.
What are some of the ways that we cover this up, or do we try to deal with it ourselves in ways that mm-hmm. That even we are not aware of?
Well, one of them is anxiety, the thing that I was talking about earlier. That can just bubble up, and you don't know where it comes from. It's just like, get a hold of myself here. I keep having to do that. Or, you know, habits, maybe OCD. That's something I've struggled with, because I wanted to be perfect. Mm-hmm. So if I could just do this perfect, then I'll be acceptable. And so perfection for me was driven by some of my abuse. And or, you know, sometimes you can have tics or just habits that annoy other people. Sure. I'm not going to say all habits are from abuse, but our body, it's a somatic response to abuse. It comes out somewhere. And or maybe you overreact to things that don't need that kind of overreaction. It's there's some anger or some pain down there that's just trying to bubble up, and I'm such a master at pushing it down that it can't, but boy, it keeps trying.
Another way, too, it manifests itself is if we're constantly finding ourselves trying to control our environment.
Yeah.
Mm. Controlling relationships, controlling how we're perceived, even. We strive after those things that we think will help us to feel better about ourselves, mm-hmm. rather than just being able to accept and embrace who we are. But often we don't know who we are because we've lost that sense of self in that wound.
Go into that just a little bit deeper, Marty. I think that's a good point. You say that one of the symptoms might be, or the manifestations might be, the need to control the environment and to make sure that you're perceived correctly. How would that manifest, for example, in a marriage or at work?
I think one of the classic things is always trying to be right, not accepting failure as an option. And it creates such an anxiety and tension within us is that we find it very difficult to relax. And this is another one of those things that can be a gateway to addictions. Mm-hmm. Addictions are a great manifestation of those things that there's something wrong within us that we haven't quite figured out, but we have this natural tendency to try to fix, sure, or cover up or gloss over, to put a veneer on it so that at least we look good and we can feel good about looking good, mm-hmm, but deep down inside, we're just not comfortable with ourselves.
Now, I know that you have a retreat. It's a retreat that's going to be coming up in October, and we're going to talk more about that and how people might be able to become involved in it. But let's move along in the continuum here from the different various types of abuse and manifestations to, if somebody is listening right now and thinking to themselves, you know what, something did happen to me, or I am experiencing a number of these manifestations, what does a person do? What's a first step that someone might do that would lead them to healing and wholeness?
Well, if you're someone who goes to confession or knows about spiritual direction, it's a wonderful place to go and just say, I'm really struggling, or I'm struggling with this sin, but this happened to me when I was a kid, and there might be some counsel there. Another step would be to look for a therapist, because these are long-time things that have been going on, and you can't figure it out by yourself. So sometimes there are, even in Bible studies, people see something in Scripture that goes, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know God thought that way about me. Mm. This is what I heard. So just in some everyday things.
How about you, Marty?
If you have friends that you can confide in, mm, who can cherish the confidentiality of the things that you have going on in your life, that's another good way to at least be heard. Mm-hmm. I think that the key is to break the isolation that occurs. And if you can find any way that you believe can get you to the next step, to break the isolation, that loneliness, that low sense of self. You know, self-esteem isn't really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a much bigger element of feeling lost.
Sure. You know, from a biblical perspective, I know that as Paul talks about to the Ephesians, we're called to be sons and daughters of God, and our identity is in the Trinity. Our identity is as sons and daughters in family with God. And there's no abuse with God. We know that. It's pure grace. It's pure love. It's pure acceptance of who we are and how he created us. And oftentimes, we know the church teaches that God is not a solitude, not alone, but a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so often, abuse takes place in the context of family. Because it takes place in the context of family, do people have a hard time sometimes seeing God as their father, Jesus as their brother, the Holy Spirit as their helper?
Absolutely. I think I'm a product of that, because I've spent about 60 years trying to believe that God the Father loves me. Mm. I believe that Jesus does, but that surrender to the Father, and because of my inability to trust men over all these decades, I just couldn't go there. And I would say that it was through the Grief to Grace retreat that it really pushed me forward in a huge way to see a bigger picture of who Father was, or Father is. And that family dynamic, boy, it keeps beating you up, because you want to break free from it. But I think it's so hard to understand how angry I was, and angry at my mother because she didn't protect me, angry at my dad because he didn't leave. But when you try to just talk about that with people who don't have that experience or don't have a professional understanding of how a person is just beaten down by those kinds of things. And as I tried many times to talk to people, but I really didn't know how, so I would bounce around. But it's so glorious now to begin to accept that the Father has this tenderness for me. I'm so excited.
You know, when I was thinking as you were mentioning that, and by the way, we're talking with Jeanette and Marty Meyer. We're talking about Grief to Grace, Healing the Wounds of Abuse. It's a special retreat coming up October 2nd through the 7th. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Marty, when the school of love, which the Holy Father calls the family is the school of love, becomes the playground of abuse, it manifests at work and in all of the future relationships that a person is going to have. It's almost like almost goes viral into every aspect of your life.
It does. Think of it, Jeff, in terms of a virus infecting a computer and it goes into safe mode.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a special person who knows that particular device, how it's made,
mm-hmm.
and what its makeup is, that they can draw out that virus and show, okay, we'll extract that, we'll eliminate that. And that's part of the healing process. And it actually is something that God initiates because God already knows the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus suffered and died for those very wounds that people suffer from today. And so if there is no family member or some significant person that we can go to seek help, simply crying out to Jesus, my Jesus, help me. Those simple things. And another one too, which was a great benefit for me, was a devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Mm.
How can you refuse the loving care of a perfect mother?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That softened my heart, and it broke down those scales and the walls to where the flood of emotions started coming out. I could actually get out those very things, those deepest wounds that a mother such as her could take and receive and then intercede and say, my son will heal you.
Yeah.
Listen to him and follow him and trust him.
I should be calling you Deacon Marty.
That's right.
Deacon Marty, because I, but Deacon, you, when you wear your clerics around and you have your collar on, do people feel a freedom to come and talk to you? And does the topic of abuse come up when they know that they can talk to someone?
Actually, that has already occurred with me, Jeff. I think the grace and beauty of ordination is that there is a trust that's established. And when I hear people share, I know that they are taking a step forward that they would not do if they just met me in a crowd in my normal street clothes.
Sure.
But God has given a special grace to those who were ordained to be the representative of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And as a deacon, it's the suffering servant of Christ.
Yep.
There's a special charism there that God has instilled through the bishop laying his hands on those who are ordained to become deacons,
mm-hmm.
that we go into those areas.
Well, that's that touches on the elephant in the middle of the room, and that is that particularly in the Twin Cities, and I know of other dioceses around the country, the abuse that we talk about comes from the clergy, and that this has been in the news. It's a big deal. We can't avoid it. We don't want to just avoid it and pretend like it's going to go away. Certainly, people talk to you about this. What's your comments, your thoughts about what we've been through in the Twin Cities and what other dioceses are going through with the priest abuse scandal?
Well, it has certainly been a trial in being someone that has been suffering from clergy abuse, there's this burden, burden of the situation, but also realizing that the far majority of the priests out there are good men of God.
Absolutely.
And holy men of God. And there are a few, and I do say a few, that have tainted that and destroyed that perception in the community about priests in general. And my hope is that as we delve into this realm of abuse and address it for what it is, and being led by a shepherd who has done an excellent job of moving us forward in that healing process and dialogue and for the protection of children, we are situated to move forward in that healing process. And I'm very encouraged to somehow, in some small way, be a part of that.
And I do want to say that that the people of the Twin Cities, the Catholics of the Twin Cities, are impressed and blessed by Bishop Cousins and Archbishop Hebda and the leadership that they are providing right now in the Twin Cities. It's something that we can all pray for and all be a part of that healing.
Yes, I would definitely say the first and foremost thing that we can all do is to pray and to give thanks to God that we have come to this point in that process of healing.
Tell me about the retreat coming up, because obviously it's not for everybody, because you don't have room for everybody, but tell us what's going to take place on the retreat and a little bit about the discerning process of getting into the retreat.
Well, the retreat will take place at a confidential location where every person will have their own private bath and room. So you have this quiet place that you can go to when you need to. To apply for it, there's an application process, and our cutoff date is actually in about 2 weeks. So if you're really interested in this, you should contact Diane at grieftograce.org, and we'll give you the phone number shortly. There's an application to fill out. That's where you review what you've done, what's happened, what kind of help you've sorted through, gotten along the way. And so there's an intake coordinator who processes that with you, and that takes a few weeks to do. So when you get to the retreat, you're just brought into a room. We're always in community. We don't do any of this alone. We're in the large group, and then we break down in small groups for some of the other work. There's time for listening to scriptures, and then those are almost dramatically acted out in what we call a living scripture, so you can go deeply into that. There's time to sit down and think and write about that. There's time to do your anger. There's time to do anger work. There's time to really be in those painful moments. But then there's times of great celebration and fun. We actually have a great time by the end.
When people go through the retreat, do they come out, do they say, I'm healed? Or do they say, this is the biggest step towards my healing? What do you hear from people?
Many people say it's the biggest step. It's kind of like going into the Chronicles of Narnia. You go into Narnia, and oh my gosh, this whole world is out there. And then you have to step back out into the reality of your everyday world. But we have email, closed email groups. We have once a month gatherings where we'll have mass and sharing time to check in on each other. And relationships are built for a lifetime because we understand each other.
Just as in salvation, we are saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved.
Right.
Such is the same with the healing process.
Good way,
Jeff,
to put it. I have been healed. I am being healed, and I will be healed. That's beautiful. So, if you had a 1 minute with anybody in the Twin Cities that was struggling with sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, physical abuse of any kind at any time in their life, if you had 1 minute with them, what would you say to them? What would you say to them if they came to you and said, I'm hurting?
God loves you. God cares about you. And God wants you to live a life full of purpose and meaning. And he has created you for greatness. And the beauty is that he wants you to discover what that is. Mm. We all suffer in this life. We can't escape from it. Some of us much more grievously than others. But God can touch those hearts. There is nothing that God is not capable of healing.
So, and you are not alone, and we are here to walk with you.
So you are saying you can be healed.
Amen.
You can be healed. That's great. Jeanette, tell us one more time how people can get a hold of the information for the retreat.
You can, there's a website called grieftograce.org is one place for the international ministry information. And then call Diane at 612-440-7247. You could email her too at Diane@grieftograce.org. Again, 612-440-7247.
And her email is Diane@grieftograce.org. Well, God bless you both for the work that you're doing. It's so needed today, and even though it might seem like a drop in the bucket to each of those people that are healed, it's everything. It's everything. So, thank you. You might be that person, so I encourage you to go right now and check out. If you are feeling moved in your heart to do this, go to the website, find out about it, and see if this is for you. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back, we'll let you know of all the great things happening in the Twin Cities this week and next week. God bless. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Minnesota Twins great Dan Gladden and the president of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arecchio.
You know, Dan, many office technology dealers take a one-size-fits-all approach to document imaging technology.
Now, that's not going to work. You wouldn't see a catcher with a first baseman's glove.
Right. That's why, as a pace-setting technology company, Coordinated offers a full suite of Kyocera MFPs.
Yeah, like Kyocera Color for Marketing, Kyocera High Volume for superior printing productivity, and Kyocera Printers for the general office.
Yep. Add Coordinated's customers first always attitude, and we help create a competitive advantage for every organization we touch.
That makes Coordinated quite a catch for any business.
Hey, Dan, let's play.
Okay.
Here, catch.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, fastball, Dan.
Boy, Jim, that's a good fastball, but it was way, way over my head. Broke a window? That has to be a wild pitch charge to you.
Kyocera. Kyocera from Coordinated Business Systems. Learn more at coordinated.com.
Customers first.
Well, Paul, you know how it is in a family. In the summer, oftentimes the kids say to mom and dad, I'm bored.
Oh, yes.
When there's so much really to do. And as far as the children of God go, as Catholics in the Twin Cities, in this archdiocese, there's no boredom.
No excuse to be bored. The Cathedral of St. Paul is celebrating its 175th anniversary Sunday, August 7th, 11 a.m. The parish history exhibit opens in Hayden Hall. Images tracing the 175 years of parish history, beginning with the early French-Canadian settlers who helped build their first chapel, later becoming the first cathedral, all the way to the present-day parish life. Exhibits will be on display in Hayden Hall and the Cathedral Museum, both located on the lower level of the church. Many pictures from the cathedral school from 1851 to 1977 will be included.
The Church of St. Albert the Great invites you to celebrate the 800-year anniversary of the Dominicans. Join in this ice cream social celebration on Sunday, August 7th. All are welcome. The event begins with Mass at 9:30 a.m. with ice cream treats. That's after Mass. Root beer floats, live music, and kids' activities to follow from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the front plaza. For more information, call 612-724-3643.
You're invited to celebrate and share the faith at Latino Family Day, Saturday, August 13th at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. From noon to 8 p.m., there will be music, games, tamales, and entertainment for the whole family. Mass will be celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins at 4 p.m., and a concert by Santiago Fernandez from 5:30 to 7. Bring your own chair or blanket. Visit the events page at archspm.org to find out more.
Join us to honor and celebrate our 2016 Leading with Faith winners. Archbishop Hebda will present the awards on Thursday, August 18th at St. Catherine's University in St. Paul. Gather at 11:30 a.m. for check-in and complimentary beverage service. Lunch will be served promptly at 12 p.m. For more information and to register, go to www.archspm.org and click on events. For more information, contact Mary Gibbs at 651-251-7700. 1-800-327-8009 or email her at gibbssm@archspm.org.
St. Genevieve Parish in Centerville invites you to their Parish Festival and Chicken Dinner Sunday, August 21st. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be bingo, pull tabs, kids' games, silent auction, and more. Chicken Dinner runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a raffle drawing at 4:30 p.m. Come enjoy a day of fun, and for more information, visit the St. Genevieve Parish website at www.stgens.org. And what do we have coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
On the next Rediscover Hour, we're going to revisit World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland. Justin Stroh will join us, and he'll be accompanied by Claire Jensen, an 18-year-old freshman from the U of M, and from St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. They're going to talk about their experience at World Youth Day, what kids get out of this, what adults get out of it. It's going to be a good show. And we're also talking with Estella from the Latino Office of Ministry here in the Twin Cities. She's going to talk about something very special coming up in the Latino community. And that's all next on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you. Have a great week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.